Here's your money briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen at the Wall Street Journal in New York. Wall Street's steep ups and downs might scare off millennials or prevent them from investing as much as they should. In a moment, we'll discuss simple rules that young investors should follow to prepare for tomorrow in the face of market volatility today. First, some money and market news you should know. If you need to withdraw money from your 401k for hardship reasons, the rules have tilted in your favor. New regulations from the Treasury and IRS now allow employees to make 401k contributions immediately after taking out money for hardship, instead of having to wait 6 months. And beginning in January, employees won't have to request a loan from their 401k before making a hardship withdrawal. The new rules will also allow employees to access matching funds from their employers in addition to their own contributions. U.S. companies that import things like frozen fish, electronics, and infant-knitted cotton hats from China are among thousands that have filed requests for tariff exclusions from the government. They're seeking relief from a round of $200 billion in tariffs placed on Chinese imports by the U.S. last year, and making the case that they're either unable to find comparable replacement goods outside of China, or that doing so would make the products too expensive for consumers. About a third of the total requests came from one company, an auto parts seller from Minnesota, Arrowhead Engineered Products. As of Tuesday, about 60 requests had been granted, including 10 to Apple, for its Magic Mouse 2, Magic Trackpad 2, and electronic components used in its Mac Pro computer. For young investors, putting money in today's volatile stock market might seem no wiser than putting money on the table at a casino. But Wall Street Journal reporter Ann Turgeson says that may be short-sighted. So, Ann, a traditional rule of thumb was putting money into stocks and keeping it there was a good way to generate long-term gains. And people in their 20s and 30s, it's really their prime years to put money away and build toward creating a nest egg.
Yeah. So in your 20s and 30s, there's a strong argument to be made that from the perspective of deciding how much to put in stocks versus bonds, that you should be very heavily in stocks. Some people say 90%, even 100%. The reason why is because your future earnings, in theory, are sort of like a bond. And, you know, when you're 25 years old, you've got probably another 35 years or more, 40 years of future earnings, perhaps even more than 40 years. And so that's a whole lot of like bond-like income that's sort of out there in the future. So the argument is that you should be heavily invested in stocks. I mean, you know, the reality is that if you're not going to need that money for 40 years, you can also arguably withstand the ups and downs of the market if you just basically ignore what the market's doing.
And low returns will also have less of an impact on a younger investor's portfolio.
Right, because a lot of, you know, the value of what you're going to accumulate is in your future earnings.
Inevitably, there are going to be market drops and corrections. And while those events may chase some investors away, history proves that those are the best times to be sure that you're in the market.
If you try to time the market, which is, you know, to sort of try to sell when things start to get volatile and then jump back in, you know, at the right time, it's really hard to pick those two times well. And if you are out of the market when it has, you know, really strong returns, your long-run portfolio is probably going to be fairly damaged in comparison to sort of just staying in the market and riding out the ups and downs.
And then for millennials and people in their 20s and 30s, they really don't want to wait too long because the lower returns will have more of a negative effect on a person's wealth accumulation the closer they get to retirement.
Yeah, that's right. So if you're within, you know, 5 or 10 years of retirement, or you just retired, or you are retired, and you experience like a sharp drop in the value of your portfolio, that's a lot more painful at that point than it would be when you're, you know, 20, 25, and you have 40 years to make up for those losses. I mean, when you're actually like staring at retirement, you really don't have a lot of time to make up for the losses. That's why a lot of people after 2008 put off retiring.
And no one here is trying to say this is easy. And to better understand volatility, to know that low returns do not spell disaster, it's probably good for a younger investor to enlist a financial advisor.
Well, it can be. I mean, you know, the issue is if you're young and you don't have a lot of assets, first of all, not a lot of financial advisors are going to want to work for you. So, you know, you can go to a robo-advisor, but depending on which ones you choose, you may or may not get an actual human being on the other end of it. It might be all computerized. So, you know, if you need a lot of of handholding in order to like remain in the market and keep yourself calm, there is an argument to be made that maybe you are overexposed to stocks for your risk tolerance. So, you know, one thing that an incredibly smart financial advisor who I spoke to recommends is that, you know, people just start out with a very simple 1/3 of their money in U.S. stocks, 1/3 of their money in international stocks, 1/3 of their money in bonds. And, you know, when we experience a sharp, you know, decrease in the market, they, you know, that's an opportunity to test out. Do I feel okay about this? Am I willing to ride this out at this level, or am I panicking? And if you're panicking, then you can dial back your exposure to stocks. If you're thinking in terms of this is a great buying opportunity, stocks are cheap, you know, they've been beaten down, maybe you have a pretty strong risk tolerance, you can dial up your exposure to stocks. So it's a bit of a starting out with 1/3 in bonds is a more conservative investment than a lot of young people should have, but it gives you a good opportunity to kind of assess where you really are feeling like you can ride out the ups and downs. And you're right. If you feel like you really just can't do it on your own, then it might be wise to try to see if you can find a financial advisor. There are some who will work with younger people specifically with the goal that, you know, they might not have much assets right now, but in the future they will.
And then another way to achieve that diversity is through a company's retirement funds and 401k, depending upon where you work.
And, you know, this is the sort of the good thing in the last, you know, decade or two, there are these all-in-one target date funds that will just do the asset allocation for you. I mean, you know, they're meant for people who really just don't want have the time or patience to do the investment decisions themselves, or maybe don't have the interest. And so you just put money in these funds. They decide how much should be in stocks and bonds. I mean, you know, that probably will work for most people, but you know, those funds tend to be heavily exposed to stocks for younger people. So if you are feeling nervous about stocks, you know, maybe those funds don't work for you.
All right. That's Wall Street Journal reporter Ann Turkeson here in our studio. Ann, thanks for coming on the show.
Sure.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen in New York for The Wall Street Journal.